स्व तत्सवितुर्वरेण्यं भर्गो देवस्य धीमहि धियो यो न प्रचोदयात्। May we meditate on that Supreme Being who dwells in the hearts of all. He is the source and sustenance of this universe. In Him we live, move, and have our being. May He illumine our hearts and may He guide us in every way. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. We have been studying the Viveka Chudamani, or the crest jewel of discrimination, by the great seer philosopher Shankara. We are going to consider the qualifications of a spiritual aspirant. In other words, to whom does the truth of God become revealed? And as we discuss these qualifications, it means that we have to acquire, through disciplining ourselves, we have to acquire those qualifications. But as we consider these different qualifications, we shall find how the ideal is so great. It seems almost impossible to follow, to practice and follow and perfect ourselves in such qualifications. And the fact is that when, through struggle and disciplining ourselves, we attain to such qualifications, immediately the truth of God becomes revealed. The Atman, the true self, becomes realized. So apparently it seems that it says these are the spiritual qualifications, these are the qualifications for a spiritual aspirant. But he is no longer an aspirant, he doesn't remain an aspirant when he has these qualifications, because at that very moment he becomes perfect. You know, there is the saying in the Sermon on the Mount, how Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And you see, God can be seen, God becomes revealed to us. But the condition is purity of heart. But what this purity of heart means is very difficult to understand. But in a sense, it means just simply this: when our mind is free from all cravings and desires, when our mind becomes completely absorbed in God, and that absorption comes only when we are completely free from all cravings and desires. And in order that we can be freed from all cravings and desires, we have to practice the spiritual disciplines. Sri Ramakrishna used to say, give the illustration, the needle, the thread cannot enter into the eye of the needle if the thread is fibrous. If there is any one little fiber is there, it cannot enter. So you have to make the thread one pointed and then it goes through the eye of the needle. Similarly, when the mind becomes completely freed from all cravings and desires, then is it that the mind becomes completely absorbed. Now again, the secret is that if you try to make your mind absorbed in God, gradually these qualifications also will arise in you. And as we shall see, that each qualification that is mentioned, that you can perfect yourself if you will try or struggle to keep your mind fixed in God, fixed in Brahman, fixed in the Atman, the Divine Self within. You know, there is another treatise which is very important for the Vedantists to study, called the Brahma Sutras, the aphorisms on Vedanta, the aphorisms on Brahman. And Shankara wrote commentaries on that. The first aphorism runs like this: Athato Brahma Jikyasa. Now, therefore, is the enquiry into Brahman. So what is the meaning of now, therefore? And he writes pages after pages to explain what these two words, now, therefore, mean. And the conclusion is that when you have undergone these four spiritual disciplines, then is it that you are fit to enquire into Brahman. But at last you come to this understanding that it's not enquiry into the Brahman, you are not fit into the enquiry into the Brahman, but you realize Brahman. He gives the illustration. Many illustrations are given, you see. This knowledge of Brahman, knowledge of God, is the knowledge of self within, because God is within. Your own self, Atman, is Brahman. And so it is already there, covered by ignorance. You see, for instance, this gives illustration. There are 10 friends crossing the river. It was flooded, you know. And so they had hard time to cross the river. Then as they crossed the river, they wanted to find out if all 10 of them had arrived safely. And so they began to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10th is missing. So everybody counted and found the 10th was missing. And so they began to weep and cry. And there was a stranger coming, passing by. He came and said, "Now what's the matter with you boys? Why are you weeping and crying?" "Well, we are 10 of us, now we are only 9. As we crossed the river, we lost one of us." Then he's counted, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. "You are the 10th. You see, each one forgot to count himself. So he pointed out how he was the 10th. And of course they were happy. Same way, we have forgotten ourselves. Yes, we have a big self, ego. We are counting that. And as such, we are in sorrow and misery and grief. Again, there is another illustration. There is a necklace you are wearing and you are searching for the necklace everywhere. It is the same. So, but when does it become revealed to you suddenly? When you have perfected yourself in all these qualifications, which again means that when all cravings and desires have left you, and you have realized that God is the only treasure, Atman, Brahman, that is the only treasure, then is it. But again, when do you understand that that is the only treasure? When you begin to think of God. There is no other way. When you think of God and think of God and begin to feel a breeze, as it were, breeze of grace coming from Him. And as you think of God, your heart also becomes purified. Your desires and cravings become less and less and less. But as you think of God, there comes sweetness. And when you grow that love for Him again, and as Shankara defines love or devotion as complete, to think of Him all the time, to seek for Him all the time. Now let us see what these qualifications are. In this connection, the sages have spoken of four qualifications for attainment. When these are present, devotion to the reality will become complete. When they are absent, it will fail. You know, if you are not struggling to attain these qualifications, if you are not struggling to have your mind completely absorbed in God, then you know it is just like, you know, you are bringing water into the field, but rat holes take away all the water. So that those rat holes have to be taken care of. First is mentioned discrimination between the eternal and the non-eternal. Next comes renunciation of the enjoyment of the fruits of action here and hereafter. Then come the six treasures of virtue, beginning with tranquility. And last, certainly, is the longing for liberation. Now these are the four qualifications. Discrimination between the eternal, that is what is abiding, and what is non-eternal, what is passing away, fleeting. Then, next, as you discriminate that, you see, you are thinking of the reality, you are thinking of Brahman, you are thinking of God, because He is the only reality. Then, as that thought comes to you, there comes also the renunciation for the pleasures here or hereafter. I shall come to that hereafter. Just hereafter. And then you have to acquire such virtues as tranquility, self-control, mental poise. There are six virtues which you shall find. And of course, lastly, you must have the desire for liberation. You must feel the limitations and bondages. If you are quite happy with your present state of mind, or then the desire does not come. And without discrimination, that desire also does not arise. So discrimination is the first step. And then, as Shankara will point out, that even if you have a little desire for that truth, then through practice and following the disciplines, that desire becomes intense gradually. You know, when Sri Ramakrishna, whenever anybody would ask Ramakrishna, how to realize God? His one answer was, yearn for Him with a longing heart. Yearning. See, this life becomes unbearable without God. When you feel that, then is it that the light breaks. Brahman is real, the universe is unreal. A firm conviction that this is so is called discrimination between the eternal and the non-eternal. It's a firm conviction, which is not merely intellectual, but it affects your whole action in life. It goes deep in your heart and mind and intellect. You see, everything. You see, why we worry about things which don't last. So, when problems arise, for instance, why do problems arise? Because you are not discriminating. You are putting too much stress on the outward things, on the external things. Go deep within yourself. Discriminate. Nothing is lasting, excepting God. And you have to realize Him. So why bother? And there would be no problems in life if you keep your mind fixed in the Atman. In your dealings with people, if you keep your mind fixed in the Atman, in God, in every being, there will be no problem. That is the only secret. Renunciation is the giving up of all the pleasures of the eyes, the ears, and the other senses, the giving up of all objects of transitory enjoyment, the giving up of the desire for a physical body as well as for the highest kind of spirit body of a God. Of course, this is the most difficult practice, this renunciation or dispassion. But it doesn't mean that we will not look with our eyes, or hear with our ears, or make ourselves completely blind and deaf and dumb. That is not the idea. The eyes will see, the ears will hear. But whatever you see, know that as the expression of God. Whatever you hear, every word, every letter is a mantra, is a sacred word of God. You know, through practice you have to come to that. And no enjoyment, selfish enjoyment of the flesh. And then, you see, there is the desire also in many people for enjoyments hereafter in heaven. Now, in this philosophy, there is such a thing as heaven, which one attains by good deeds, meritorious works, charity. But this has nothing to do with spiritual life. And so after death, such a person goes to heaven, gets a spiritual body, body of a god as it were, and enjoyments, subtle enjoyments. But after the effects of his good deeds are exhausted, he is returned to this earth again. So freedom, liberation, what we call, is not by going to heaven. Heaven or there is the another place, both are temporary places where one goes for enjoyment or suffering temporarily according to the quality of their deeds. And when the effects of those deeds are exhausted, they are thrown back into this earth. And so that desire for pleasures in heaven also we have to renounce. You know, in the Katha Upanishad we have this story of this king of death. And he was teaching Nachiketa the secret of immortality, which means also how to attain the knowledge of Atman or Brahman. And this king of death said that by finite deeds, good deeds, one can attain to a status in heaven. You can be a king of death or king of the gods. But such status again is not lasting. Because finite deeds can give you finite effects. You see, this idea in Christian theology about how one can go to heaven for eternity and one can go to hell and suffer for eternity has no sense at all. Because after all, a man, whatever he may be, suppose he is the worst criminal, how can his finite deeds, bad deeds that he may have committed, would give him infinite punishment, punishment for eternity? It doesn't stand to reason. And the only truth is that the Atman is free. Only you have to uncover. You see, it is just like the sun shining, but clouds cover it. When the clouds are removed, the sun shines. Similarly, you are always divine. You come from divinity. God, if God is the maker, he made you in his own image. And his image of perfection is there in every one of us. And that can never be lost. We can enjoy and suffer, play for some time and then come back home and realize our nature, our true nature, and become free. Every one of us will become free. Now the six treasures. To detach the mind from all objective things by continually seeing their imperfection and to direct it steadfastly toward Brahman, its goal, this is called tranquility. Wonderful definition of tranquility. You see, it's not just remaining passive, but you detach the mind from all objective things, problems, as I said. You begin to think about them and make a mountain out of a molehill. Oh, this person said such and such. That person doesn't like me. And you intensify that by thinking. But see, it is all transitory. And after all, you are reading your own thoughts into others. We read motives in everybody. And no, that they are all transitory, all will pass away. Only reality is God, nothing else. So detach your mind. If you want peace of mind within yourself, to detach the mind from all objective things by continually seeing their imperfection and to direct it steadfastly toward Brahman. To direct your mind steadfastly toward God. That gives you tranquility of mind. Well, I will deal with these different treasures in my next again. May I invite questions?
The oral questions from the audience are being revoiced due to their being off mic during the original recording.
None of you did write any questions this time. We thought you'd be writing. All right, next time, I think we should have some paper and pencil. And as you come in, just write your questions. You know, sometimes people are shy to ask, you know. But I don't think any of you is that shy.
Sometimes your problem seems so overwhelming, it is hard to be detached.
Sure, they seem overwhelming because we don't keep our mind in God.
Well, it is a vicious circle.
Yes, but the moment you detach yourself, you see, that's also a secret to learn. You can attach yourself and you can detach yourself. That is a great secret. And the problem may be overwhelming. Detach yourself and go within yourself. You'll find the problem become solved by itself. There is such a thing as grace of God. You see? And through the grace of God, the unsurmountable problems you pass easily. You cross easily. That is the secret. Devotion to God, that is the secret. You know, when you have unsurmountable problem, think of God and say, I have no other refuge but you. You see, if you take refuge in a person, he does something for you. Don't you think God will do everything for you? And he does.
Where does our responsibility towards the world end and our responsibility toward God begin?
Oh, you have no responsibility towards God.
Well, perhaps that is the wrong term.
You see, as long as you have this sense of responsibility and sense of duty, you'll have to perform them. And at the same time, give a little time to God. And then you find that God takes away all your responsibilities. But one must not shirk duties. And after all, you don't have to give up your duties or responsibilities. You can work as worship of God. And make that, you see, the very thing that causes your bondage, you can make that the cause of your liberation. You see, for instance, karma, work, action, that is the cause of bondage. When we do any action with an attachment to the action, to the fruits of the action, we are bound by that action, good or bad. Now, that action itself that causes the bondage can cause one liberation if that is performed as worship to the Lord. So you see, suppose you have a responsibility towards your parents. You have to support them. Very good. You are worshipping God in your parents. You are working for your parents, for God in your parents. You see, then you live in the world, at the same time you are not of the world.
I have heard this, Swami, but I have reservations about how much of the work I do is really worthy to offer to God.
Everything can be presented to God. Don't have to discriminate there. God is like a big bonfire. He can burn everything. Good or bad, you offer Him. You know, we perform some rites or ritual, fire ritual, and there, you know, at the end, we offer everything, whatever we may have done, good, bad, indifferent. We offer them to the fire of Brahma. But remember, you have to be sincere about it. Sometimes one can easily offer the bad deeds, but good deeds one wants to keep for themselves. You know, there is this story. There is this story, parable of Sri Ramakrishna. There was a man who loved his garden and he worked in his garden and he built up a beautiful garden. And then one day cow got in and did some damage. And this man got mad and hit the cow. And the poor cow was dead. Now, of course, you know, in India especially, to kill a cow or a woman, you see, they're together. And that's the greatest sin. And so he began to think, now, this hand killed the cow. But this hand is guided by a deity. You see, there's a philosophy that each sense is presided over by a particular deity. And so he was well versed in scriptures, so he said, now, this arm, the presiding deity is God Indra. So I'm not responsible for this deed. Indra has done this. You see. And so Indra learned about it, you know, in his high heaven. So he came down as an old man, you know, entered the garden and began to praise the garden. And this man was very happy to meet him because he appreciated, you know. And so he told him, I brought this plant from Australia and I brought that from India. You see, like that, you know, he began to talk to him. And how I cultivate and I do this and I do that. And then as they were walking, they came into that place where the dead cow was lying. And what is this? Who did this? And then this Indra revealed himself and said, all the things that are good, you did it. And about killing the cow, I did it, did I? So that's also a secret, you know. Not I, but thou. Thou art the operator, I am the instrument. Thou art the operator, I am the machine. Thou art the dweller in the house, I am the house. Thou art the doer, I am thy instrument. You see, in other words, the whole secret of freedom, attaining freedom, the whole secret of spiritual life is somehow or other to fix our mind in the reality. No matter how you do it. You see, we have a saying in Sanskrit, jena kena upayena krishne mano nibeshaye. No matter what means you undertake, but keep your mind in Krishna. And you know, I translate it sometimes, by hook or crook, keep your mind in God.
Is there another meaning to the word samadhi?
Is there anyone?
Another meaning to the word samadhi?
Well, yes. That is used, for instance, when somebody is buried.
So they find samadhi?
Yeah. That also is used. Because, you see, the idea is this, that when a man dies, at least we try to think that he is absorbed in God, so he has attained samadhi. In fact, when some holy man dies, we say he has attained mahasamadhi, the final samadhi. We don't say he died. He attained mahasamadhi, the final samadhi. You know, funny thing, I was in Portland and Swami Prakashananda died in San Francisco. And one student called me up and said that Swami Prakashananda died. I couldn't follow her at all. I couldn't understand. And then another young Swami, you know, was there. When this student could not make me understand, this Swami took the phone and said to me, Swami Prakashananda went away to Lord. And I immediately got it. Death, that he died, my mind didn't accept it.
Now that you bring up the subject of death, there were two people that used to sit right here that have disappeared. And how truly you say that everything is just passing by, passing by.
That's right.
Each one just fades away. The world is a beautiful world, but the way we are going today, we are building up a false civilization, and it is almost impossible to find the truth. We are very fortunate to be with you here.
Thank you. We are with the Lord, remember. Om Hari Om. Om Sahana Bhavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahavirjam Karavavahai Tejasena Bodhitamastu Ma vidvishabhai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. May Brahman protect us. May he guide us. May he give us strength and right understanding. May we have love for all. May our study bring light unto us. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Peace, peace, peace.